It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. As families prepare for the start of school, this year marks the 50th anniversary of a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that allows parents to withdraw their kids from public schools after eighth grade for religious reasons. The High Court decision in 1972 stemmed from Old Order Amish members advocating for the right in what became a landmark case, Wisconsin v. Yoder. What do you wonder about this history and about parents' rights in education? Email ideas at WPR.org. We have two guests ready to talk about this and take your questions. We'll start with Marcy Hamilton, professor at the University of Pennsylvania and founder and CEO of Child USA, a think tank dedicated to protecting kids and preventing abuse. Marcy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Wisconsin v. Yoder decided in the 1970s. You've said this case is a landmark case for extreme religious freedom. How so?
This case opened the door for religious families to argue they don't have to fully educate their children. And part of what happened is the court trusted the Amish to be law-abiding. It would all be good for society. But it has opened the door to organizations like the fundamentalist Mormons, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, to not educate their children even close to what the standards need to be.
How is that possible that the Supreme Court, you know, set out some regulations and there are things that parents are supposed to follow, but that isn't actually happening in practice in what you're seeing?
Well, unfortunately, what the Supreme Court said is that if a religious group or parents have a good enough reason, that reason, if it's religious, is more important to than educating our children. And so it opened the door to saying religion does not have an obligation to the public good, which is dangerous. And that conversation still continues to be had.
Marcy, the court ruled that Amish parents have the right to pull the children out of school for those religious reasons. So tell us about the Amish parents that were involved in this case.
Well, it was interesting because what the Amish were arguing was that they have an agrarian society, that they need their children to be working on their farms well before high school ends. So they wanted to take the children out early high school, you know, end of middle school. And basically the argument was they have a completely different way of life and they shouldn't have to be forced to live a life where children are fully educated up through grade 12. The court dropped a footnote, which I laugh at this point, because they basically said the Amish never break the law. So in other words, this was a safe decision that letting these children not be educated would permit society to still have contributing, thriving children and adults in society. Of course, it's not true that any religious group has never had anybody arrested. And it's turned into a disaster for the children whose views were not consulted during the case. That it's hard to get a job if you leave the faith and you don't even have a high school degree.
We're talking about the legacy of Wisconsin v. Yoder as the ruling turns 50 years old. We're talking with Marcy Hamilton, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And we have another guest joining the conversation. Tora Bontrager is founder and executive director of the Amish Heritage Foundation. That's a nonprofit that is set up to serve Amish women and children through education. Tora, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
As you hear Marcy talk about the ruling itself, what is your reaction to that? Does that jibe with your experience?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Professor Hamilton is the first and so far only attorney I've run across who really, really understands Wisconsin v. Yoder inside and out and argues the case on behalf of children's rights, and not solely with the view towards advocating for parents' rights. So I love that distinction because I myself am a recipient of the decision of Yoder, a direct recipient of what happens when a child is not allowed to go to school beyond the eighth grade and receive an adequate education.
Tora, what do you want people to know about your experience?
I would like them to know that the conversation needs to be shifted towards children's rights, and that children are not objects or possessions of parents, that they are themselves individual human beings with American constitutional rights and human rights.
Now, the majority opinion in Wisconsin v. Yoder sided with Amish parents, saying that children are not mere creatures of the state. So it's interesting when I hear you say it's not just about parents, or that children aren't creatures of the parents. So supporters of that ruling would say that's a win for religious liberty, for parental education rights. Do you disagree with that?
Well, I feel it is a win for parents' rights, but it's not a win for children's rights.
Sure.
And the lower courts did side on behalf of the children's rights to education. But at the state Supreme Court level, Wisconsin State, that switched. And when it was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, they upheld Wisconsin's high court ruling. And in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the document, you will see wording about how the children's rights aren't an issue, that this is not about the children. They're not parties to the case. And I would disagree, of course.
Right. Marcy, the Supreme Court voted unanimously, saying that an additional 1 or 2 years of high school wouldn't produce the benefits that Wisconsin law claimed. Are there other religious groups that you've seen continue to use Wisconsin v. Yoder to homeschool children?
Homeschooling has been definitely expanded and introduced, actually, because of religious groups claiming that the kids weren't getting the education they wanted in the public schools. And of course, the disaster with homeschooling around the country is that the standards aren't enforced. The states often do not track the level of education that homeschooling kids are getting. Some homeschool kids are thriving, and those are the ones we hear about, but there are a lot that aren't. But, you know, I really worry about groups like the ultra-Orthodox Jews, who routinely do not educate their boys in any of the major fields that we teach in high school, like history, science, math, English. They are teaching their boys Torah. And we can't afford a society where, especially the knowledge growth in this society is so extraordinary. We can't have a society and expect people to vote knowledgeably if they haven't had at least a high school degree.
And they're using this case that was decided 50 years ago.
That's right. They're using a case decided that long ago, but also they're using a case, the facts are radically different from how they have expanded what Yoder means for them.
We are taking calls now at 800-642-1234. And we've got Troy from Muskego on the line. Troy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, good morning. Good to be here. Thank you for this program. I'm a father of four, and I'm just going to say that children are not property. And, you know, you're a steward to raise them and then prepare them for the world that they're going to live in. And it's going to be different from the world that you grew up in. So I don't understand. I think it's real selfish that these parents, based on their hangups or whatever they experienced in life, they deprive their children of learning the skills that they're going to need to survive in the world. I think it's almost borderline abuse. I really do. I don't understand it. That's all.
Troy, thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to come and talk about that more in just a moment. We've got Marcy Hamilton, who is founder and CEO of Child USA. That's a think tank dedicated to protecting kids and preventing abuse. And Tora Bontrager is founder and executive director of the Amish Heritage Foundation. We're talking about Wisconsin v. Yoder. We're going to get into the concept of parents' rights and abuse just ahead. Share your thoughts, your questions by calling 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of a U.S. Supreme Court case called Wisconsin v. Yoder. It establishes that Amish parents have the right to pull children out of school after eighth grade for religious reasons. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas at WPR.org. Our guests for this conversation are Marcy Hamilton, who leads a think tank dedicated to protecting kids and preventing abuse, and Tora Braun-Traeger, founder and executive director of the Amish Heritage Foundation. And Tora, our last caller, Troy, was concerned that this opportunity for religious extremists is borderline abuse. And you were born and raised in a traditionally Amish community, but you escaped in the middle of the night when you were 15. Tell us why you left.
I had no choice but to escape, or I felt at age 15 that my only other choice was to kill myself. That's how oppressed I was. That's the kind of abuse I experienced in my home life. Of course, not all Amish children have the same level of abusive experiences that I did, but it is, you know, corporal punishment, physical punishment is the rule of law under the Amish. So all children suffer from that. But yes, so because of Yoder, I was effectively sentenced to an undereducated life. The Supreme Court, in my view, made it criminal for me and all other children inside the Amish church to have any future outside of the church. And what was I to do? The only thing I could do was escape and hope for a better life. And so, yes, it is abuse. And some states have constitutional rights to education. Others don't. We don't have a federal constitutional right to education, which means that even for residents of states who do have education rights, any parent or guardian can say, hey, I don't think that my child should learn how to read, and I'm going to point to Yoder as a precedent, and that overrides the several or handful of states that do have explicit rights under the state constitution. So what we really need is a federal constitutional right to education to protect children, including those who wish to not necessarily give up their Amish, traditional Amish culture or other conservative groups that they're born into. But, you know, they have a protection. What they need is that to have that choice, to be given that equal level of basic education to then decide and have the means to make informed decisions for their future.
Tora, thanks for sharing your story. And Marcy, you know, Tora acknowledges that in her case, she would classify it as abuse, and that might not be the case for everyone. What about neglect? Is denying children education a form of neglect?
It is absolutely. And at Child USA, you know, we're working on the civil rights of children, and what we call this is educational neglect. And it should be criminalized. We can't have a country where our children don't fully understand that there is a constitution, that we have a proud but true history of problems, but also solutions. And, you know, I loved the caller saying that he feels like he's a steward of his children. That's right. I mean, children are not property. They were over 100 years ago. They were literal property owned by fathers who could put them into factories at will, four-year-olds at 8 a.m., but now they can't do that, and now they actually should be required to educate them to, in the best interest of the child, and not in just making the child a martyr.
Marcy, what do you say to people who argue that an eighth grade education, while it doesn't set people up for some of the different opportunities you pointed out earlier, it is a solid education where they're still able to, you know, move on and really contribute to a community?
You know, with all due respect, that era is passing behind us. The Amish children that have escaped, now Tora is a wonderful example of thriving and figuring it out and coming from the worst of circumstances to being a leader. But many who leave then try to get jobs in very low-level spots. You know, try to move up at McDonald's in management if you only have an eighth grade degree. So, and everything is getting more technical, more challenging, and more, it takes more of a knowledge base to be able to do this. But I think the crisis in democracy right now is the best example that I have of why we need to educate our children completely. We have representatives saying that there is no such thing as the separation of church and state. And that's just a result of not knowing about the Establishment Clause or about the fact that the framers believed that we needed a country that was united and diverse. So I just think it's impossible to have a thriving United States without children at least getting K through 12.
We're talking about the legacy of the Supreme Court case Wisconsin v. Yoder that was given 50 years ago now, talking with Marcy Hamilton and Tora Bontrager. Tora, your organization, it aims to overturn Wisconsin v. Yoder. What's your strategy here?
The strategy is looking for the ideal candidate, which is extremely difficult. So we went down that road. There are all sorts of complexities in finding the ideal candidate. If, for one, it's difficult to find, although we did in the past few years find several. But then the process of preparing them for going through a case was too much for them. And that's understandable because when we speak of eighth grade education that the Amish have, the average Amish adult actually only has a fifth grade education when it comes to, you know, the literacy level and a third or fourth in numeracy or math. So it's really, really worse than what it sounds when you say eighth grade only. So all of this to say that we're now looking at what can we do on a legislative angle? Can we pass legislation, and can we add another amendment to the Bill of Rights to make education an explicit federal right? That's where we're headed now. We feel that's more likely than finding the ideal candidate to overturn the case directly. And, Tora, and I would love to hear what Marcy's response is to that.
Yes. And I just want to clarify, Tora, when you talk about the ideal candidate, you're talking about getting somebody who would be able to be the representation and take this through the courts again to try to overturn it.
Yes, it would mm-hmm. be someone who would have would be an injured party according to the statutes. And that's just fraught with complexities because of, you know, how the legal system is arranged to sort of be a catch 22. So it essentially the way that I understand it, and Professor Hamilton can correct me if I'm wrong, but by my having successfully escaped, I was now no longer an injured party, even though the reason I had to escape was to if I wanted to go to high school or have an education beyond the eighth grade, I was forced to escape. There was no other way to do this. But the fact that I was successful now in the eyes of the legal system essentially said, well, you're not suffering academically or educationally. You made it out.
Thank you, Tora. Marcy, we've got about a minute left. What do you want to say about Wisconsin v. Yoder?
Wisconsin v. Yoder was decided in an era in which children were still treated like they were property. And it's time to move on and understand children as rights holders who have a right to thrive and to be educated. So it's my hope that we can change this through state laws. The current Supreme Court is very deferential on religious liberty, even when there's harm to others. And so, Tora, we're with you on going state to state.
Marcy, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For joining us.
Thank you.
And Tora, we really appreciate you being here this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you for helping to raise visibility on this issue.
Tora Bontrager is founder and executive director of the Amish Heritage Foundation. Marcy Hamilton is founder and CEO of Child USA. That's a think tank dedicated to protecting kids and preventing abuse. Up next, we look at the science behind how and why we smile, and it's more complicated than meets the eye. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. A news update and a story from Wisconsin Life are next here on the Ideas Network.